It is the end of the summer sermon series. Kind of sad about that. So that means it's the end of lake season. It's the end of camping season. And a bunch of you this week go back to school. It's the beginning of football season. It's a new chapter, right? The kids are going, aww. The moms and dads are going, aww. See, it's this new chapter. Our summer camp closes down. The camp counselors, it's the last day. They're here today. As soon as the service is over, they head out on the road. The series, in case you don't know, it's Your Faith Awakens. And somebody pointed out that this was reminiscent of the movie Star Wars. I had no idea. So I found out when they want to get you for copyright infringement, the first thing they do is send you a cease and desist order, so now I can point out the connection in case any of you missed it. Your Faith Awakens, The Force Awakens. Okay, good. Oh. I was waiting for someone to go, ah. But anybody remember this tagline from Star Wars? Do you know what a tagline is? That little thing that comes... Okay, anybody raised in the more liturgical setting than promise? Okay, I'll give it to you, and we'll find out who the real liturgical people are, because you did this in the theater the first time you heard the tagline. May the Force be with you. How many of you, honestly, when you saw one of the movies, ever did that in the theater? I was going to Concordia, Chicago at that time, and seriously, we were all there, and we heard it, and we instantly, it was weird. Man, but taglines, they're that one little takeaway line. They're the thing that they want you to remember. Today's scripture reading was Paul's tagline: grace and peace to you. It's that thing that they want you to remember, that takeaway line. Parents, some of you have taglines. My mom... her tagline, every time I'd leave, it was, Henry, remember whose you are. She didn't know it was her tagline, she just developed it. Not whose you are, but whose you are. She wanted to remind me of that identity that I had in Christ. That when I went out in the world, I was his, and I represented him. Parents, can I encourage you to develop a tagline? A little takeaway. Your kids, they won't recognize it now, but in 10, 20, 30 years. Husbands, wives, develop a tagline. What's that thing that you want them to remember? For Paul, it was grace and peace. This is how he began his letters. It's the way he ended things. The reason we put this one here is it's teaching us how to say goodbye. There's this musical called Hamilton. Has anybody ever heard of it? Okay, five of you. Wow, we got to do some stretches to start in church. Oh, there's this great line. It's a musical. It's actually a hip-hop musical about the founding fathers, specifically Alexander Hamilton on the $10 bill. And as George Washington is stepping out of office, there's this amazing song that says, "Teach them how to say goodbye." See, what Washington did was started a whole new system where you didn't have a ruler who was a king, but you had a servant leader who led the people for a season, but not to get too much power, not to keep all the power in one place, would step out of leadership and hand it off to the next generation of leaders. Wow. Man, that's discipleship. That's got discipleship written all over it, because one of the things you got to know about discipleship is it's not a forever system. People should not remain in one position forever. You should be training up the next generation and then stepping aside and let them lead. And no, I'm not resigning this morning. But what would happen if churches started doing that? Well, we're going to find out over the next 10, 15, 20 years. What happens when pastors start saying, this stage, this ain't mine to hold until I step out and then I leave you in a lurch? No, I'm gonna raise up preachers who are going to preach. teachers who are going to teach, and I'm going to pour into them until they're so much better than me that I can learn how to say goodbye and hand it off to them. Man, how would the church look different when we start doing that? Because that's how they did it back in the Bible. That's why Paul had a tagline, grace and peace, because no matter what happened, he wanted them to remember that. And by the way, this isn't just a church thing. Man, how much better would our businesses be if I sat there and said, I want to work myself out of a job. I want to raise up such great leaders that I can step back and let them take over. The word repent in Greek, it means to think different after. We've been repenting a lot here on staff at Promise. And I want to apologize first. Sometimes repenting means apologizing. I'm sorry to each and every one of you that's ever volunteered for a position. You raised your hand thinking you were just asking where the bathroom was, and we signed you up for life. I'm sorry. That's not right. Where you signed up for a position and we dumped it onto you and just said, oh, you want to teach Sunday school? Go, run with it. And 28 years later, you're still teaching the same curriculum. We're changing that up. We've thought different after. That doesn't work. That causes burnout. It causes destruction. It causes hollowness in your soul. No, what the biblical model is, it's teaching from the overflow. It means following God where he's leading. We just sang the song. I saw all your lips moving, so you agreed to this. Where you go, Lord, I will lead you. And that gets scary as a pastor. Discipleship is scary because sometimes what God says to you and what I'm saying to you, they don't match. And I've learned that that means I have to step back and let God lead. Sometimes in churches, and this isn't to shame you or guilt you or say, hey, if you don't sign up for children's ministry, we're going to cut it. But sometimes it means going, hold on, we're not going to do things the same way because God's not leading anybody into that position. Now, don't get me wrong. We disciple people into those positions for a season. It's not about dumping. It's about discipling. It's never about dumping. Dumping is when you come in and you raise your hand and you go, okay, you're taking children's ministry, run with it. You're taking youth, run with it. Oh, you're going to lead a small group, go, just lead it. No, discipling is coming alongside and walking with, and the end picture is teaching how to say goodbye. See, that's what Jesus did, right? Jesus didn't dump on the disciples. He walked with them for 3 years, teaching them to do everything that he had done. And then, even after his death and resurrection, he hung out with them for another 50 days, saying, hey, it's going to be different now. You guys are running this. That's the summary of Acts. And see, then we have Peter and Paul and Mary. They're handed. First service, man, I am finding out so much about the demographics of the two different services. The first service thought that was hilarious. This service, especially like this side, you're just like, yeah, Peter, Paul, Mary, Bible reference. Puff the magic dragon. Oh, yeah, I'm preaching a sermon. I was talking. Okay, that's where I was. Sorry, man, I gave myself ADD for a second there. That was super fun. But what's it look like to hand it off? What if that's the end goal? And I think it is. And see, then our taglines, they're developed different, aren't they? We want to boil it down to one essential. And all these letters in the Bible, by the way, you can impress your friends and say you read the whole Bible, just leave the asterisk. Just read the first line of every letter in the New Testament. He starts it off over and over and over with this tagline. He had handed off the church to the Corinthians. He had handed off the church to the Galatians. He had handed off the church to the Ephesians. He said, you guys run with it. You're the church. You keep making disciples. And every letter he wrote them, he started it off this way. Grace and peace. Man, three-word tagline. Grace and peace. Because that's what it's all about. Grace. In confirmation, I learned everything by acronyms. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, the unearned, unmerited, free gift. That's what grace is. It means you didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. As Christians, grace is the cross. It's a right relationship with God, not because I'm going to work harder, not because my list of good things outweighs the bad, because one bad thing, it outweighs all the good things that I've done. One bad thing, one sin, one error, one misstep is throwing a rock into a river that causes ripples through eternity. It causes brokenness between me and you and me and God, but grace is the fact that God took that to the cross, that God looks at you and looks at me and loves us unconditionally because of his favor. And the word amen in the Bible, by the way, it means I agree with that. It also means, Pastor, you're not just working and we're still paying attention to you. Amen means I'm in. So can I get an amen? Amen? There we go. There we go. Grace. See, if we ever forget that it's grace, then we think this discipleship is something we do. I can just pull up my pants and tighten my necktie, and I've made disciples and praise Henry. No, that's not the story. It's grace. It's that even in my weakness, God works through me. So we talked about last week. It's not about having enough knowledge or enough stature. It's about the fact that you've been with Jesus. That's why we make disciples, is because God's grace fills us and overflows us. In every letter, he wanted to remind us of that grace and peace. Man, peace. This calls all the way back to Numbers. If you have your Bibles, flip them open to Numbers 6. This was the Aaronic, that's the name, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, with an ick at the end. Because Aaron was told by Moses to give this blessing to the people. It is not the ironic blessing. I grew up thinking it, and I'm like, I don't get the irony. No, the Aaronic blessing, it's the one that we start everything out. And peace, it's the word, and it's the way it translates, but it's not peace. Peace isn't the absence of war. I mean, that's part of it. But peace in Hebrew, it's shalom. Everybody say shalom. Oh, isn't that a great word? Shalom. It's, yeah, we call it peace because it's the absence of war, but it's the absence of hardship. It's the absence of struggle. Peace is the fact that the soil is fertile, that something is meant to grow from it. Peace is all the right conditions for multiplication. Peace is what God gives us. See, all the way back in Numbers, God wanted the people to be reminded of that peace. And so here's the Aaronic blessing. The Aaronic blessing is in Numbers 6, starting in verse 24. Actually, in verse 22, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, and this isn't a game of telephone, that's a whole nother sermon that I'll preach another day. Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the people. Don't miss this. This is not hashtag bless the people. Right? Hashtag blessed. Man, I got a whole lot of money. Hashtag blessed. Well, my wife loves me. Hashtag blessed. No, blessed isn't this financial thing. Blessed in the Bible, it means God is with you. Now, could that be because you get what we call in America today a blessing? Sure. But no, what blessed is. I mean, read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this, blessed are you that mourn. Do not think for a second, I'll preach this bigger in about 4 or 5 weeks, I'll do the Sermon on the Mount. But blessed are you who mourn does not mean that mourning is a blessing. Nah. We've mourned together, haven't we? That's not a blessing. God doesn't intend for people to suffer and die. God didn't send the cancer. God didn't, I mean, God took them with him when they died, but God didn't cause the death. That's an effect of sin. So what do we do with that? Blessed are you who mourn. No, I'm not. Not if it's hashtag blessed. God didn't send the mourning. That's, man, I wish I could say stupid in a sermon. Because then I'd tell you that that's stupid. But I can't say that in a sermon. I got a collar on. But man, no, blessed means I am with you. In the midst of mourning, you sit there and you ask all the questions and you go, God, where are you? Why is this happening? This is just, man, all kinds of non-church words. I don't like this. This hurts. Not just heartache, but deep down in my gut ache. God, I haven't talked to a single one of you who has lost a loved one that doesn't for a split second shake your fist and go, God, where are you? And that's why Jesus says this. Blessed. In the midst of your mourning, I am with you. Scripture promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. Blessed, I am with you. That's why all the way back in Numbers, God told Moses to tell Aaron to have the priests bless the people. Remind them that I am with you, period. And he said, bless them this way. Say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. Face, the word is panim. Everybody say it. Panim, it's such a good word. Face. I remember when I was a kid and my dad would discipline me. Dad would tell me something I did wrong, and I would hang my head in shame. And then my dad's did something that back then I thought was intimidation. Back then I thought was him puffing up his chest. Back then he'd say, son, look at me. Anybody else's parents do that? Man, little did you know. Little did you know. Your parents, if they did that, man, they're Hebraic. Kids, do not say that. Next time dad says, look at me when I'm talking to you, don't go, dad, you're Hebraic. But see, that's this blessing. See, I didn't realize it back then. When you say, look at me when I'm talking to you, what it's saying is you don't have to hang your head in shame. I am disciplining you because I love you. We still have eye contact. We still have a relationship. This is a face-to-face thing. I will never turn my head from you because you are mine and I love you. I watched the Jersey Shore once. I will hang my head in shame on that one. Actually, I watched it 1.5 times. The time I started watching the second episode, I realized it was exactly the same as the first, so I just turned it off. But there was a gentleman, I don't know if that's the right name for any character on the Jersey Shore, but there was a person on it, and he named himself The Situation. Well, when Jersey Shore got big, The Situation went on tour, and in his contract, it said if he was appearing anywhere, that no one could look at him in the face. None of the people bringing him his food. It actually was written, no eye contact allowed. Because he was too big. You didn't deserve to gaze upon him. So that's why God says this. The kings back then said, no, you can't even look at me. I'm here and you're here and you can't even raise your head to look at my face. But when God told Moses to tell Aaron to bless the people, he said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. To shine on you and to be gracious to you. And to give you his peace. That's what this is. It ain't this peace. See, this is too easy to confuse with ordering two more sodas. No, it's this peace. This is the word, the first letter, sheen. Shalom. God's peace on you. Not just that God isn't at war with you. See, that's grace. No, it's his peace. that he's created fertile soil around you for you to grow, for you to multiply, for you to make disciples, that God looks at you. Man, and he's in awe. He's in awe of who he made you to be. He loves you perfectly and purely. So much so that all the New Testament did was summarized the ironic blessing into a tagline. Grace and peace. Just sit in that. Stew in it. Let it bubble up inside you. What's your tagline? How are you overflowing that grace and that peace to everybody around you?